WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. One person is dead due to flooding, and two others are missing after Thursday's storms in Virginia. The state Supreme Court rejects a challenge to the state's 2011 redistricting, and we follow a recent trip from Virginia to Ghana to learn more about the slave trade and how to better teach its history. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, June 1st.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
One person is dead due to flooding near Crozet. Two others are missing after Thursday's storms. The body of one motorist was found, and another person is missing after their car was swept away by rising water near Ivy Creek. Also, another woman is missing after a flash flood in Madison County. Heavy rain from the remnants of subtropical storm Alberto caused flooding Thursday in central Virginia and parts of the Shenandoah Valley, including Harrisonburg. The rain also caused a mudslide just east of Elkton yesterday that has U.S. 33 closed. The National Weather Service says there is potential for more rainfall and flash flooding through the weekend. The Virginia Supreme Court rejected a challenge to the state's 2011 redistricting process. The court found 11 challenged state House and Senate districts constitutionally valid. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
The lawsuit was brought by One Virginia 2021 and argues the districts were drawn to protect the incumbents and not represent the voters.
We're disappointed in the decision.
Board President Gregory Lusick.
The issue here is that the courts and the legislature have never defined the standards for compactness in the Virginia Constitution.
He says they will continue to fight in the legislature for a constitutional amendment to create an independent commission to draw legislative districts.
These are the same legislators who have consistently protected their districts.
But history shows that eventually change happened. I think the recent Medicaid expansion, for instance, is an indication that legislators are teachable.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
A group of more than 50 people traveled from Charlottesville to Ghana in May to learn about the origins of the transatlantic slave trade and how its history can be better taught back here in the U.S. Jordy Yeager joined the group and has this report.
Deep in the jungles of Ghana is a crossroads by a river called Asin Manso, where for several hundred years, Africans from all over the continent were forced to bathe after being marched barefoot, naked, and in shackles.
So after your last bath, you had your first onshin. After your first onshin, you had your first branding right here in the market. Before you walk another 31 miles.
There's something about the power of the ocean, and I can't help but think about those people who marched 300 or 400 miles from inland, who maybe had never actually been to the coast but would have heard about the beach.
Naya Bates is the public historian of slavery and African-American life at Monticello. She studies the lives of the people our third president, Thomas Jefferson, enslaved. Europeans brought hundreds of thousands of Africans to what would become the United States, and Virginia was ground zero. The country was founded on the exploitation of slavery. And so Bates has come to Ghana, 5,000 miles away, to learn more about its origins.
To hear those waves crash on that shore, and then to be thrown in a dungeon where you can hear it resonating against the wails, against the screaming and the crying and all of the deprivation of these spaces. And then for the last time you see it is the moment they take you out to the ships. Like, that's your last impression of your homeland. I just can't imagine how terrifying that must have been.
The Cape Coast and Elmina castles are massive, multi-level stone fortresses with dozens of rooms. Cape Coast was built by the British to compete with the Portuguese and the Dutch, which had operated Elmina for two centuries just 7 miles down the Ghanaian coast. At any given time, as many as 1,000 African men, women, and children were held for weeks, sometimes months, in the dark dungeons. Justin Reed is the director of African American programs at the Virginia Humanities, and at one point he found himself standing in the governor's bedroom. Both he and Bates have ancestors who were enslaved in the U.S. and sexually assaulted by white people.
Clearly, like, you know, Nye and I both have, you know, women ancestors who were violated in that way. So being alone in that space really conjured up those emotions. And then again, at Elmina, we were shown the staircase where enslaved women would have brought into the private quarters of the castle governor, and again violated in the same way. I mean, the entire history is horrendous, but I think something about that in particular just really impacted me.
In teaching the history of the transatlantic slave trade, Bates and Reed say many of these details are often ignored, along with the advanced complexity of African societies that existed long before Europeans arrived.
It's important to note that these places were not colonized until 400 years after the slave trade started. So, I mean, they did what they had to do to survive.
When we teach this history in the U.S., when we say things like, you know, the Europeans stole, or the Europeans kidnapped, or the took, when we say those statements, we're unconsciously saying that the Europeans had all the power in this scenario, and that the West Africans were weak.
In the U.S., white enslavers tried to control African Americans by eliminating any hope or purpose beyond the plantation. They used physical violence to strip away names, languages, customs. But in Ghana, Bates and Reed say all of these were on full display.
I've seen here entrepreneurs, people making a way out of no way, and I see that in the States too, but not to the same degree. And I think that's a spirit that was intentionally removed from a lot of Black Americans. So that will change the way that I research people at Monticello. They had a background before they were enslaved by Jefferson.
Now, 200 years later, 5,000 miles across an ocean, that background is finally starting to come into view. I'm Jordy Yeager.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your Friday.